Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. This is Sheridan on Romans, number 8 in our series. And I want to thank all of you who have been listening and writing and telling us you're enjoying the program. And as we go through these verse-by-verse teachings, and I trust that, and many of you said that you're listening and you're following along, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier that you're studying the scriptures and you're getting to know God. And we're discussing a topic, one of the most hated topics in the world is, as we're going to see in these letters of Paul, that a man is justified gratuitously, he's sanctified gratuitously, and he will see Christ in glory apart from any works whatsoever. This is a hated teaching because it minimizes man or makes nothing of man and gives all the glory to God, and that's what we're here to do on these programs. So we're in Paul's letter to the Romans, and I just want to do a little recapitulation. Most of you didn't think I knew words that big, but we're going to recapitulate. I just want to go back and read the sections we've covered, just to sit back and read it, and then go back and continue from where we left off. And we are in Paul's letter to the Romans, and I'll be reading here from the Concordant Literal New Testament. And for those of you who are new, you've probably never heard of this translation. For years, I've cut my teeth on a King James Version in a companion Bible using the notes there, which are very helpful in the original text. But if you were to ask me straight up what would be the best one, period, best translation of the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is the Concordant Literal Scriptures. You can get the Concordant Literal New Testament at our website and our store, and there is a Concordant Literal Old Testament available in 5 volumes. If we really want to be technical, we'll say the Hebrew Scriptures and the Greek Scriptures translated into English. Well, we're in Romans chapter 1, and I just want to read and make a quick comment and then continue where we left off. Recapitulation's good. It's done a lot in Scripture. We're something is taught, ground gone over, and then it's gone over again. Paul says it's good to repeat things. Well, Paul says here in Paul to the Romans, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God. Notice that, evangel of God, God's evangel. God has good news, and it's concerning his son. And, oh, by the way, there's a parenthesis, which he promises before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He connects his message here with what went before. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was entombed. He was roused again a third day according to the Scriptures. And so we see all the Scriptures point forward to the person and work of Christ. And, of course, it's like handing a baton. The Hebrew Scriptures and the apostles, as it were, we pointed this out, there's gradual revelation in Scripture. So imagine a race. You know, it begins with Moses, and he hands the baton to, you know, Ezra and so forth, and all the writers of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then the Lord Jesus comes on the scene. He never wrote anything, but though the baton is passed on to those who are witnesses, eyewitnesses of his ministry and his resurrection. And they then pass the baton on to Paul, and Paul runs with it from there. And Paul takes what went before, and of course he adds to what went before. And so not everything you read can be found in the Scriptures, but it's based on it, and he takes it a step further. Things that Paul teaches in Romans and Ephesians are not found anywhere in the Hebrew Scriptures, as we'll see. All right, he promises before, through his prophets in Holy Scriptures. And here's another thing to keep in mind. No matter what the calling is, whether it's Israel according to the flesh on the earth, whether it's the body of Christ, there's only one expectation for all of us. It's Christ. Christ is the center of all of God's purposes, all of God's plans. Christ is the center. It's the good news concerning his son, which he promises before through his prophets and holy scriptures concerning his son, who comes of the seed of David according to the flesh, who is designated son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Great topic, resurrection. You know, it's Monday morning here and I'm looking out. It's starting to get a little cooler out, but you know what? We can have a smile. Some of us are going through lots of trials. I know, Todd, you are, and we are here, and some of my other friends are. But there is a conclusion. There is a sequel to the trial. And just like Joseph was bound in prison, yet one day he was destined for the throne. But he had to go through the prison first. And brethren, we're headed for the throne. And you know why that is? Because there's resurrection. And that resurrection is in the person and work of Christ. And no other religion has this. This is what distinguishes what we teach here on this program from any other religion in the world. We don't hate Muslims or Buddhists. We are conciliated to them. We see all of our enemies as potential friends because we know that God is the Savior of all mankind. Well, it says here, by resurrection of the Jesus Christ, our Lord. And just as a quick comment, I want you to notice how Paul always addresses him as the Lord. And let me just say, friends, pay attention to this. We never address him as Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him the honor due unto his name. He is our Lord Jesus. He's not our buddy or pal. He's our Lord. And yes, we can lean on his bosom as John the Apostle did, but when John leaned on his bosom, he looked up and still called him Lord. We must recognize his preeminence. So Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we obtain grace and apostleship for faith obedience among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved by God, called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, indeed, I am thanking my God through Jesus Christ concerning all of you that your faith is being announced in the whole world. For God is my witness, to whom I am offering divine service in my spirit in the evangel of his Son, how unintermittingly I am making mention of you, always in my prayers beseeching, if somehow, sometime, at length, I shall be prospered in the will of God to come to you. For I am longing to see you, that I may be sharing some spiritual grace with you, for you to be established. Yet this is to be consoled together among you through one another's faith, both yours and mine. Now let's get back to where we left off. Verse 13, Paul says, now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that often I purposed to come to you. You know, we make our plans. Paul had his plans. Paul desired to come see these believers at Rome. But listen, we may make our plans, and we should make our plans, but it's the Lord alone who directs our steps. And so don't be afraid when your plans don't turn out the way you want them. You may have a good desire to do something, but it may not work out the way you want. So Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Often I purposed to come to you and was prevented hitherto. Notice there was a prevention going on, that I should be having some fruit among you also, according as among the rest of the nations. Now, I want you to notice there is a fruit prevention program. Satan has a fruit prevention program. You know, some of you have made fun of my titles here. I talked about Jesus Christ's intestines last week and God's wallet. But let's talk now about Satan's fruit prevention program. And here's a good way I want to show you what this is referring to. In the keyword concordance, if you turn to the back, if you have a concordant literal New Testament and you're listening, you can do this. If you don't, just listen and pay attention for a moment. But if you look up the word fruit in the concordant keyword concordance on page 117 in the back, it'll give you a reference to all the words for fruit. And it's the word karpos. And the first time Paul references it is in Romans 1:13. Romans 1:13. And Paul says he wanted to have fruit among these Romans. Now, these Romans were already converted. They were already believers. So what kind of fruit is Paul referring to? Is he talking about bringing people to the knowledge of the Savior? Probably, sure. I'm sure Paul would consider that fruit. But I think, however, that the fruit he's referring to is fruit for those who are believers. See, if the adversary can't keep you from believing in the person and work of Christ and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, he will try to prevent you from bearing fruit. And this is important because we're living in a day where many people, they just rejoice. They just say, I know God's the Savior and Christ is my Savior, and I'm so happy about that. And they never want to go beyond that. They just want to rest in that. There's a phone call. Let's see here. Who is it? Oh. It says, fruit prevention program. I better not answer that one. Let me turn the volume off here. Ringer volume off. Perfect. And it says here that, see, adversary is trying to prevent fruit here. It says here that I should be having fruit among you also, according as among the rest of the nation. What kind of fruit? It is not, see, we think that it's when we rest in the, just believe in Christ, that's enough. Remember, Paul desired maturity among the believers. Now let's look at the next reference to fruit. Romans 15, let's see, it's in Rome. Let's go to Romans 6, 21 and 22, if you want to turn there. Romans 6, 21 and 22. We read this: "What fruit then had you then, of which you are now ashamed? For indeed the consummation of those things is death. Yet now, being freed from sin..." Isn't that good news? We're free from sin. And that has nothing to do with your practice. Boy, I can't wait to get to Romans 6, friends. We're going to have some fun there. We are free from sin, and you're freed from sin, as Brother Zender has pointed out, even while smoking a cigarette. That's the point. "Yet now, being freed from sin, yet enslaved to God, you have your fruit for holiness." So there's fruit for holiness. And so Paul, what was Paul's desire? His desire was to come to Rome so that he can minister to them so they can have more fruit. Well, here in Romans 6, we see fruit unto holiness. How is that fruit produced? By recognizing the truth of Romans 6. And I'm sure Paul wanted to make that even more clear to them. Well, let's look at another reference to fruit. Romans 15, verse 28. Romans 15, 28. And we turn there. Romans 15, 28. And we see this: "When then performing this and sealing to them this fruit, I shall be coming away through you into Spain." Now, what was that fruit being referenced to? Well, the fruit there was the ecclesias of the Gentiles were sending a gift, a monetary gift, to the struggling saints in Jerusalem. And Paul called that fruit. See, there you go. There's another opportunity for fruit bearing. Notice so far the fruit bearing has nothing to do with going out preaching or evangelizing. It's just common, practical, daily things. And here it was giving a gift, ministering to somebody else who had need. We can, if we have the opportunity, let's do that. That's fruit to our account. Let's continue. Let's see another reference to fruit. Let's look at Philippians next. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 will be the next one. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "Now the fruit of the Spirit is..." Notice it's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit, this is God's operation in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Can you imagine a law that says thou shalt not love, or thou shalt not have peace, thou shalt not have joy? Absolutely not. There's no law against these things because they only produce good things. And this is delicious fruit. And this is the fruit of God's Spirit in us. The fruit of the Spirit are these things. Ponder this passage and think about each one of these. And we can have joy in the midst of the worst trials, flooding basements, collapsing ceilings, bad teeth, bad backs, the whole works, bad hearts, bad tickers. We can have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. By the way, if you look up the word kindness in the keyword concordance, it says use. In other words, being useful. And the fruit of the Spirit is usefulness. I hope we're all useful. And let's continue. We saw Galatians 5. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Can you see why so far there's a hindrance? Paul was prevented to come because the adversary doesn't like these kind of fruits. Galatians 5. Now Ephesians 5, 9. We turn there. "As children of light, be walking," he says, "for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." There's the fruit of the light is in goodness and righteousness and truth. Now in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, let's turn to that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And the context once again is his suffering. Now Paul says this: "For me to be living is Christ, and to be dying is gain. Now if it is to be living in flesh, this means fruit from work." Paul's whole life was fruit. He says, if I'm going to be alive, that means fruitfulness. And in Paul's case, it was being an encouragement and his ministering to those around him. And his very presence, Paul's very presence, made others rejoice in the Savior. And I have a scripture for that, by the way. Verse 26, Paul says, "I am aware that I shall be remaining and shall be abiding with you all for your progress and joy of faith." Joy of faith, isn't that a great term? "That your glorying may be superabounding in Christ Jesus in me through my presence with you again." Isn't that fascinating? That's a prayer. And I actually wrote in one of the margins, say, "Lord, may this be true of me. May my presence with others, make people super abounding in their glorying in Christ Jesus. Folks, I just had a slice back into this program. You will not believe this. We were just talking about fruit bearing, and the adversary made it so this equipment stopped on me. So I had to go back in, and I did not have the ability to listen to where I was at. So I do not know where I left off. And I went a little over time on this fruit issue. I'm going to come back to the fruit issue tomorrow. Again, I apologize. I don't know where this recording cut off, but I was cut off right in the middle of we're being hindered from bearing fruit. And don't think these are just accidents. This is a true statement. Well, tomorrow I will go back and start, and we'll pick up from the fruit bearing and continue in our exposition of Romans. And so pray for us here. If you want to help keep the program running, you can send your help to P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073, or just go to our website and make a donation there. And now listen, on our website, all this stuff is free to download and listen to, and look at our new bookstore on there. And thanks to Clyde, Brother Clyde Pilkington, who is now managing our bookstore for us. So go there and find some good material for study if you don't have these already. And until tomorrow, we don't need ceremony. We have Christ. See you tomorrow.